We are back in the quote-unquote recording studio for episode 7. And I know there was a bit of a break between 6 and 7, but sometimes life happens, college happens, a pandemic happens, you know, any of the above. But today, since isolation is a thing, I am in the studio by myself recording, and I want to take a deep dive into some big and little life changes that have happened and talk about being authentic, because I think it's about time. Thinking and processing about what I'm gonna say, I'm really nervous, and I think that's a really good sign that this is an important episode and these are some thoughts and feelings that I really, really truly want to explore and talk about. It's just me, myself, and I sitting in an empty room. Right now I'm shifting around my apartment and my old bedroom is completely empty, and so I'm sitting on the floor with some fresh made coffee and ready to dive into this. When I started Downright Happy Podcast, I really had this idea that I wanted to have these conversations about authenticity and real ways of finding happiness and being happy and finding fulfillment, because I needed that in my life. I've always been fascinated with the idea of happiness and where does it come from? Is happiness a byproduct of something else? Is happiness a fleeting moment? Is it something that you can train? Is it something you can develop? And I would read stories and see people who had gone through really harsh things or not, but they seemed genuinely happy, and there was this peace about them that then that happiness came from. And in my own life, I feel like I have been searching for that happiness and have found so much of that happiness, but at the same time, I feel like I've only scratched the surface, and there's so much more to investigate and to learn and to cultivate within myself. And one way that I see that happening is through community and through talking to people who have found different aspects of happiness, and all together we can feed off of that and find bits and pieces for ourselves. It's kind of like a buffet where you do get to be picky and choosy about what you want and what you don't want, but it's all there for you. Over the past couple months of recording episodes and having these amazing people on, I feel really honored that I got to sit on this side of the laptop and ask them deep questions about where are they finding their happiness, what have they been through, just really having them open up and be vulnerable. And I loved that. I loved hearing that. But the more guests on that I had and the more deep conversations, I was realizing that I was shying away from being vulnerable myself. And first and foremost, I think it's super important to state that I have almost a phobia of being vulnerable and being real with people. And not to say that I lie all the time or that I'm living this lie, because I'm not, and I truly feel like I'm not, but I also have an incredibly hard time letting people in and being vulnerable with others and even being vulnerable with myself, accepting what I truly think and feel. And so with something like the Downright Happy Podcast, where it is about vulnerability and it is about getting real and being authentic, part of that utterly terrifies me, which is why I want to lean into it more and lean into the things that make me uncomfortable, because I really truly feel like beyond that barrier is so many amazing things that I have yet to discover. It's like I'm living life on 30%. I'm like, okay, let's search for that next 10%. So we're living at 40 and then 50 and 60 and so on. And I feel like some people have found those secrets to break through the levels faster. I'm a little bit slower, and I'm okay with that. I'm learning and growing at my own pace. I have this struggle sometimes about social media and the internet and what people share. And I look at certain creators, authors, podcasters, and they're so open, like so open. And part of me longs to be that confident and that secure in who you are, to be that open. And I feel like for me, I need to find my own healthy balance of sharing enough, but also I enjoy my privacy and I'm protective of that. But at the same time, my brand and my mission is authenticity. And I've been in this amazing class all spring with Kendra Rand, who's a communication professor here at the university, and just studying the impact of communication and community. And in a recent paper for that class, I wrote a mission statement, and I really sat back and thought about, what do I want my life to look like? What do I want to contribute? And so I ended up writing, my mission statement in life is to serve and to love others, to communicate the power of community, and to show young individuals that being authentic to yourself is the most profound act of self-love. And I feel like I failed that mission statement these past few months, even year or so. And that hurts. That hurts to look for myself that I wasn't living up to that potential or to that mission statement. I was waking up every day and accepting a subpar mindset, a subpar life. And honestly, it got to a point where enough is enough. And it definitely happened in the middle of school, middle of podcasting, middle of everything. And I really had to step back. And I love podcasting so much and hope to continue doing it for as long as I possibly can. But it highlighted, the people that I was talking to highlighted of, wow, I'm not being real. I'm not being authentic to myself. It's a really funny thing, having a podcast and having this way, this platform of sharing your voice and your thoughts and your ideas. And I want to reiterate that I in no means am an expert on any of this. And I think I never want to come across that way. I am just a human that's trying to figure it out. And I love other people and other people's stories so much. And I love my own story. I'm learning to love my own story. And I want it to be much more of a sharing experience. I want it to be so much more of a sharing of things that I've thought about, things that I've learned, and also get that back from other people. There are so many aspects to my own personal story that people who were around me in that time of life know, and they know some details, but then a lot of times I've just moved on. Once it gets scary, once I get too open, I move on from that group of people. And there are definitely some individuals that have stuck through it throughout all of the different phases and everything like that, but it's not something I want to continue doing. You know, growing up as a queer kid in a rural town is complicated, and it is challenging because I didn't see other people like me or people that had other experiences like me. And the ones that I did see, the experiences that I saw, were people online and on, you know, YouTube, and their lives looked a lot different. Of that, yes, we shared that same experience of coming to terms with being queer, but then a lot of the other stuff didn't line up. And so I felt like I didn't have this anchor on my identity. And for me, growing up, I always had to have a label. I had to have a box, because that's the way that my mind was like, okay, this is how you exist. And this is kind of the expectation for this, is, and this is how you will act. And this is, you fulfill that box with everything that you have, and you stay within that box. And for a long time, I felt like that worked, that made me feel like I was being true to myself and fulfilling my duties as a queer individual. And the older I'm getting, and the more life that I have the fortune of living, the more I'm realizing you can't contain yourself to these boxes. Of that, It's not anybody else that was putting me in a box and labeling me a certain way and putting me on the shelf, but it was myself. And it was my own expectations of what it meant to be queer, to be creative, to be dyslexic, to be all these types of things. It got to a breaking point where I didn't want to live in those boxes. I really struggled to want to live at all. And that's the opposite of happy. That is not where we want to be. Like, my God, in this pursuit of being happy, I was getting more and more unhappy because I thought that I had to live in a certain way. Of that, once I told people, "Hi, look, I'm queer," then I thought, that's what I have to stick with. And that's what the rest of my life is going to look like. You know, in 2015, when I first told my parents, "Hi, look, like, I'm not comfortable in the body or the gender that I'm in, some things need to change," that was a massive breakthrough. Because in that moment, I was able to throw off every previous box that myself, my family, my church, my community had put on me. And it was the most euphoric experience, because it felt like I had a blank slate, a blank canvas to create whoever I wanted to. And obviously, like, I tried to take some of the same morals and ideas and creative energy from the previous person to who I was becoming. And I think that stop motion almost idea of thinking of, you can just make a clean cut and create a new person and make a clean cut and create a new person, I'm realizing how immature that was, but at the same time, what a defense mechanism that was to completely cut off ties with the previous person you were and create this entire new identity. And, you know, the years that I spent as Lauren were phenomenal. There, I had some of the highest highs and the lowest lows, and I truly, recording this today, I do not feel regret about expressing my authenticity in that moment and what I truly thought and felt and believed. Of that, Lauren opened doors for me that I never, ever would have dreamed opening as well. Lauren learned how to hold her head high in certain situations and in rooms and in everything like that. And the confidence that I gained from being Lauren and having to go into completely new school systems, to making all new friends, to rushing a sorority, to everything like that, the confidence that I gained from that is something I will forever be thankful for. But at the same time, I slowly realized that Lauren was this beautiful creation that I had made and that I was using to hide a lot of things. I was using that as a front to not deal with trauma or with baggage that I had from way back before Lauren. I 100% support trans rights and trans individuals, and that they are authentic and they are being themselves. And this is my own personal experience with gender and my story. And this is not anyone else's. And I am not trying to invalidate anybody's trans experience or experience with their own gender. This, all I have to go off of is my own experience being authentic to myself every step of the way. And even when that means getting really uncomfortable with the idea that I may and have been looked at as a fake and a phony, and that was never trans to begin with. And, you know, I accept all those criticisms and feedback with open arms, because there truly isn't anything that I haven't heard at this point in my life. But as the author and creator of my life, I get to decide and define who I am. part of this podcast has been to talk about and dive into some topics and some things and ideas that are not always comfortable, because that's the thing about finding fulfillment and finding happiness, is a lot of times it requires getting super uncomfortable and having to highlight things in yourself that make you unhappy, that make you unfulfilled. And something that I have struggled with so much is this idea of being authentic, of that being authentic scared me so much that I would rather create an inauthentic version of myself, or a version of myself that pretended to be authentic, but the authentic narrative that I was giving was totally fabricated. I mean, enough truths and reality woven in that it was viable and believable, but not actually authentic. And that's something where I'm going to really expose myself here, but it's something that in this new chapter of my life and what I'm trying to go after now is authenticity. So my Instagram beforehand, there wasn't a single photo of me on there that wasn't severely manipulated, that wasn't severely photoshopped to try and fit this body ideal of what I thought I should look like, or the products or the designer goods. There have been times where I haven't paid my rent, but I bought designer clothes or bought a luxury experience so that people would see that bougie life. But at the same time, the more I did that, the more empty I became, the more hollow I became. And the people, I lost friends over it, because the people around me who knew the true me inside knew that that wasn't truly what I was like. And I still love, I love amazing experiences. I love quality goods, but not at the price that I'm sacrificing friendships and an authentic life just to keep up this image, to keep up with the Joneses, because I thought that that would make me more cool, more hip, that it would attract the right kind of people into my life. And unfortunately, it didn't, and it left me empty, and I don't want to live that kind of life. I don't want to live that type of experience. Something that my parents always talked about when it came to decision making and big life choices or little life choices or anything like that, they would always talk about, all you can do is make the best choice for you with the knowledge that you have and the knowledge that's available to you. And with that, I think I need to address that I did switch my name to Will, and I am going by he, him now, and it's just how the cookie is crumbled. And yeah, I'm honestly so bad about talking about things that are close and personal and vulnerable. And so I feel weird, I feel awkward, but I really want to lean into that, because my friend Sam had this great thought about authenticity and being authentic, and it's to be the purest form of yourself despite judgment or current movements or trends or anything like that, but to just go back to basics. And so with going back to basics, I want to be like, hey guys, the name's Will, I'm a queer dude, and I love life, and I want to talk about happiness and motivation, and I want to talk about how to be an awesome person and how to live a really full and fulfilling life. And sometimes I get so caught up in appearances and what other people think of me, and what will people think if I do this or say this or go here or dress this way. And you know what? I want to shake all of that off. This quarantine has got me thinking so much about, wow, I took for granted the ability to be out and about and constantly meeting people and having these great interactions with people, that why would I spend time worrying about judgment from others when I could be out there meeting even more people? Like, after this quarantine's over, I feel so inspired to step even more out of my comfort zone, because you know what? Our comfort zones were totally taken away by making our zones our own homes, where we're a little bit too comfortable. And that's a scary thought. And I know that we're not going to return to normal or the way that things used to be. It's going to be a new normal, and that's okay. Even though this episode has been a little bit jumbled and all over the place, I definitely feel like it's the most open and vulnerable I've been, and I want to continue being, because I feel kind of like a weight is being lifted off my shoulders the more and more I'm reining it back into, what are your core beliefs? What do you want to say? What questions do you have from myself? And so I don't have the answers. I'm nowhere near close to having the answers, but I have so many questions, and I really want to dive into those questions in this podcast and have these episodes be rich and real. And all I can say is I'm a queer dude who loves life more than I ever thought was possible. I love people at such a deep level, and I love the human condition of, we're all searching for something, so why not search together? And I am so thankful and grateful for everyone who has supported me throughout the years and who has supported the Downright Happy podcast and its mission. Y'all are real, and I love you all so much. Peace out, guys.